Hi, I'm Greg Lebovitz. I'm a Nokia developer champion with a specialty in the Qt and Qt Quick development environment. And I work for Integrated Computer Solutions out of Bedford, Massachusetts. And today we're going to talk about how to move applications from the Qt, Qt Quick environment to the Windows Phone 7 development environment using Silverlight and XNA. Moving from to Windows Phone is fairly straightforward because the environments between Qt and Windows Phone 7 are very similar. And today we're going to talk about how the tools and the frameworks and the components are somewhat the same and how we can map between them. If you're developing a Qt application using widgets, it maps very nicely into the tools available and the objects from Silverlight. If you're using Graphics View, the Graphics View objects map very nicely into the XNA framework. Graphics View is often used for games in the Qt world, and XNA is the gaming environment for the Windows Phone 7 device. We also have a WebKit in Qt that is used for opening up a browser and displaying web pages, and that functionality is similar through the web browser objects with Internet Explorer in the Windows Phone 7 world. And then we'll spend some time talking about how Qt Quick and QML can map into both XNA and Silverlight to make it easier to port your applications or to re-engineer your applications onto the Windows Phone 7 device. And we will also just point out that model view programming in both QML and in Qt are very similar to the model view, view model controller environment inside of Silverlight. And if you're building applications that use model view, especially in QML, it's very easy to map those into MVVM. We won't spend time talking about that today, but it's important to understand that that capability. So to understand Silverlight and XNA, we need to understand the programming environment. So we're going to talk a little bit about Silverlight, the tools that it provides, for instance, developing in the IDE, the user interface that's available for designing applications in GUI objects, how the runtime environments work in both Qt and the Windows Phone 7 environment. We'll talk about some of the code objects and methods, and of course there's properties that are QML properties in the Qt world and attributes in the XAML world. And we'll discuss that further. So to develop an application, you need the IDE, and both environments provide some sort of declarative language. In the Qt world, we have both the UI files for widgets, but in the we also have the QML definition language that is used in Qt Quick for declaring objects and giving them behavior. And in the Windows world, Windows Phone 7 world, we'll talk about XAML and we'll talk about XNA, XAML being the declarative language for Silverlight. We'll also talk about the application templates that get generated in both environments and the similarities between them and maybe some of the differences that allow you to get started fairly quickly by generating a new project in the IDE and taking advantage of the template that gets created. We'll compare project files and we'll map some of the functionality of the Qt, QML, and Qt Quick files that support the environment in the Qt world into the Windows Phone 7 world and show where you find the various components that are used to generate the project. We'll also talk about how resources, embedded data, are implemented, of course, in Qt, and how that maps up into resources that are in the Windows Phone environment. towards the end of the session, we'll talk about internationalization and compare using the Qt internationalization tools that work with also Qt Quick, and compare that to the objects that are available for doing internationalization and embedding translation resources in the application. And we'll mention debugging, though we won't have time to spend on going into the debugging environments. So when we talk about each of these major components that make up the development environment, we need to spend time talking about what they provide. So with the IDE, we're going to see that the main features that will compare between the two environments are the code editor and the capabilities for editing the various types of files and bringing up the designer tools that will allow us to visualize what we're coding. And then we'll talk about the user interface designer. In the Qt world, we'll mention the design tool for widgets, but also we'll spend time just comparing QML Designer to what's available in the Windows Phone world. And we'll talk about the designer and just briefly mention Expression Blender, which is available in the Windows world, Windows Phone world, for doing graphical layout. We'll also talk about how the user interface designers, through their declarative languages, will map or integrate with the code that's being implemented in either C++ or JavaScript on the Qt world, or C# and the code behind in the Windows Phone world. In the application template, we'll talk about the objects that get generated. We'll talk about the application properties that we have available to manipulate the application, and we'll talk about how the application manifest is specified and built in both environments. For resource management, we'll talk about embedding data, and we'll talk about how to access the embedded data. For internationalization, we'll talk about the various methods between the two frameworks that allow us to tag or build translation strings, to translate those and build phrase books, and how to integrate that back into the application. So in comparing the tools, we will compare the various components and tools that we discussed earlier. For the IDE in the Qt world, we have Qt Creator, which is the code editor for both C++ Qt and QML that's part of Qt Quick. In the Windows Phone 7 world, we'll use Visual Studio 2010. We won't distinguish between the Express version that's available for download from the Microsoft site or the Professional version, because they work the same. For the declarative UI, we'll mostly discuss the QML programming environment, but we'll also just touch upon UI files that are used to generate widgets in the Qt widget environment. And we'll compare that against XAML, which is the declarative language in the Windows Phone 7 world. For the application template, we have the QML application view when we're using Qt Quick. This is the object that will define the event loop and load the start page from QML and set up the environment and declare the global properties. And in the Windows Phone world, we'll compare that to the app.xaml declarative file and the app.cs code behind for the app.xaml. In resources, we'll talk about building QRC files in the Qt world and comparing that to adding resources to the CS project file. We'll also discuss how to run and test the phone application on the host computer, either in the Qt world where we will use a phone simulator, which will actually compile the application into the native host binary and run it inside of an environment that simulates a phone, versus the Windows Phone 7 emulator that actually will execute the Windows Phone application from within the emulator environment. We'll also just briefly touch upon the various debugging environments. So, for instance, in the Qt world, we have GDB on the host side, which will talk to the Coda client on the phone. In the Windows Phone world, we'll be using the Visual Studio Debugger, and it will run the appropriate agent on the phone itself. So for the IDE, we'll just quickly compare the features that are available in both environments. So both Qt Creator and Visual Studio offer syntax checking, and they also offer syntax highlighting that will color keywords and variables and properties so that they're easily recognized while reading the code. They'll also call out by using highlighting coding errors, whether they are syntax errors or semantic errors for missing variables and such. They also both offer code completion. In the Qt world, it's a code completion mechanism that pops up the choices in a hints display, and it will compare that against Visual Studio, which uses the IntelliSense mechanism. For finding symbols in Qt Creator, we have the symbol locator. You specify the symbols that you want to identify or locate, and the symbol locator will allow you to find all instances of that symbol. In the Visual Studio world, we have find and replace, so we can do a search for a symbol and find it in all the places that it occurs. For Windows Phone 7, we actually can do a find and replace on a symbol, and it will do refactoring, essentially replacing all instances of a symbol with the new symbol. And in the Qt world, Qt Creator will have the refactoring menu option that will allow us to rename a symbol, and it will find all instances of that symbol and refactor the code to use that. We also have access to source control. In the Qt Creator world, the various environments or programs for doing source control are included with Qt Creator, and it supports, for instance, Git and SVN. In the Visual Studio world, we have extensions that also support multiple source code tools, Git, SVN, and some of the commercial products. In Qt Creator, we actually manage the individual tool chain by finding the QMake or the version of QMake that's associated with a particular platform that we're going to target with our build. So by finding QMake for the phone or finding QMake for the desktop or the various platforms, we can load the entire tool chain for that platform. In Windows Phone 7, we have the notion of the SDK. We'll have an SDK for building Windows 7, an SDK for building for the Windows Phone 7, and by loading the SDK, we get the entire tool chain and also all of the associated extensions and plugins that support that particular environment. And the tool chains that we, or SDKs that we'll talk about or focus on will be Windows Phone 7 and, of course, the XNA and Silverlight tools. So this slide shows a comparison of the two IDEs. In the Qt world, we have Qt Creator, and on the right, in the Windows world, we have Windows Phone 7. You can see that they look very similar, and the syntax highlighting and coloring of the code is very similar. And it's very, very easy to find the keywords and find the variables and program-defined values in both environments. Some of the major differences that take some getting used to. In the Qt Creator world, of course, the tool selection is on the left using the tab buttons, and in Visual Studio, the buttons are along the top. Some of the menu items for performing common functions are different. For instance, we'll rename symbols in Qt Creator, and we'll find a find and replace symbols in the Visual Studio world. The Explorer in Qt Creator is on the left in the default configuration. Of course, it's on the right in Visual Studio, but those can be tailored by the programmer to fit their own preferences. For the declarative language, we're going to look at two different environments in Qt. We're going to look at Qt UI files and Qt QML. For QML, I will compare that against XAML. XAML is a true declarative language. It declares the objects that are going to appear within the GUI, and there will be code behind those in a separate C# file to add behavior to that GUI. In the QML world, of course, we're going to have the objects defined within the language, but we're also going to be able to add behavior by using JavaScript. So comparing these two declarative environments, as we move an application from QML to Windows Phone 7 Silverlight, we're going to have to map the objects from QML or the elements from QML into XAML, but we're also going to have to take the JavaScript code and reformulate that and re-engineer it into C#, and that will become the code behind the XAML. One of the nice things about XAML is because we have this distinction between the declarative language and the code behind it, it's easier to separate the functionality that is performed by a graphic artist or UI designer versus the code that's going to be implemented by a developer. Both environments have element-based declarative languages. The elements are both hierarchical. Of course, in QML, it has a structured language look, and in XAML, it's going to be XML. Both allow the objects to be movable. We can change their look and feel and some of their behavior by manipulating their properties or attributes. We also have the ability to bind properties between objects in QML and in XAML so that values that change in one element will be reflected in another. We also can affect the overall behavior of the application and tie to back-end code using JavaScript in the QML world and C# in the XAML world of Silverlight. The underlying programming language besides JavaScript in QML, of course, is going to be C++. For writing more complex and native code that will run more efficiently on the platform. In the Windows Phone 7 world, of course, that's going to be C#. But the two languages are very similar, so that code that's written in C++ is very easy to move to C#. The challenge is going to be mapping the Qt APIs, the Qt methods, and attributes to the C# and .NET APIs that are available on Windows Phone 7. For reacting to user activities inside of the application, of course, in the Qt world, both in QML and Qt widgets, we're going to use signals and slots. Input will come via signals usually and will be triggered into slot applications, whether they are written in JavaScript or in C++. In the Windows Phone world, we're going to use custom events or code behind objects. If we want to define input from the user directly to an object in C#, we can declare a custom event and either trigger that event when input occurs, or we can use the events that are automatically triggered by stock objects that are provided in XAML and Silverlight. We have one additional feature in QML, and that's that we have this notion of input elements, and this idea doesn't exist in XAML. So when you use input elements such as mouse areas or gesture areas in QML, you're going to have to map those either into the events that are automatically emitted from the Silverlight core elements, or you're going to have to use low-level events to catch those and trigger custom events via C# code. So here's some examples of comparing the structure of the languages for the declarative UIs. The code on the left does not map into the code on the right, but we can see the structure of the two languages and how we would write code in each one of them. With QML, we're using the structure that is block-oriented. The object is declared on the left, and body of the element with the properties are between curly brackets. In XAML, it has a very XML, it is an XML structure, so we have open tags and closed tags, and in between we can specify child elements. Within each tag, we can set the attributes that affect the appearance and behavior of that element. One of the important nomenclature differences is that in QML, we discuss the attributes as being properties, and in XAML, they are actually XML attributes. So we can compare the design tools in both environments. On the left, we are demonstrating or showing the QML designer that allows us to design a GUI application using core components that are available through the Qt components add-on to Qt Quick. In this case, we're building an authentication page that would be used to log into an application. For instance, if we were doing a Twitter application or a Facebook application, we can lay out the entire GUI page by page using the tool in Qt Creator, and each page will be saved in a separate QML file. Then we can link these together using the page model that's available as part of the Qt components in the Qt Quick world. On the right, we have Visual Studio, and it has a very similar functionality. We can use a palette, open the palette, and select among the different controls. We can drag them over onto the phone screen and place them where we want them to be. We can use grid objects and stack layout objects to either build rows of controls or columns of controls, or of course the grid will allow us to lay them out as a grid. We also have all of the top level items that are available in particular to the Silverlight environment, such as the panorama and the pivot objects that allow us to build multi-dimensional pages or multi-page applications, and then we can use the XAML tools and the code behind to use the Windows Phone native page stack to navigate between those pages. One of the differences between the two environments here that you can see right away is that in the Qt Creator world, we are either looking at the designer or we're looking at the code. So if we wanted to edit this design in QML, we would click on the Edit tab on the left that's above the highlighted Designer tab, and we would enter the code editor. We could then edit the QML code and go back to the Designer, and our changes would be reflected. One of the nice features of Visual Studio and the Visual Studio Designer is that as we edit the XAML code, we immediately see the changes reflected on the left in the visual design tool. So changing the visual design through the design tool will immediately update the XAML code, and changing the XAML code will immediately update the design. And we can still navigate between the different files using the Solution Explorer on the right. To do the same thing in QML, we would have to go back to the Edit, select the file in the Solution Explorer, and then move into the design tool once again. So we've discussed the comparison of using the Qt Quick Environment QML to Visual Studio. We can also make a similar comparison for those applications that were developed using Qt Widgets. And the comparison is a little bit easier because the designer in the widget world will be XML, which is very similar to the structure of XAML. So they're both element-based, but in this case, they're both XML element-based, and they form hierarchies. One of the big differences, though, between using the UI file or the Qt designer for widgets and XAML is that the widgets are defined not to be as movable objects. So you lay them out on the screen, and then essentially you don't animate them or move them around the screen. They're really meant to be more static objects. Whereas in the XAML world, we have this notion of objects that can be animated and moved either directly or through the C# code behind. So XAML maps much more clearly into QML for very dynamic GUIs, but you can still map the UI elements into XAML merely by doing a one-to-one correspondence between the objects. And we have very similar layout items in both worlds. So a horizontal vertical layout in the Qt world in the UI file will map directly into stack layouts. And of course, grids will be grids, and pages will be pages. In the UI world, again, the attributes of the objects are described as being properties, whereas in the XAML world in Silverlight, they're going to be referred to as attributes. But we can edit the initial properties both in XAML and in the UI file or through the designer property editor, which we can also do in the Visual Studio. If we want to change the behavior or add functionality to the back end of the code in the UI file, of course, that's going to be done in C++. And those of you who are familiar with developing applications using designer and UI files know that you can either use the QMake environment to convert the UI files into C++ header files and include that in your code, or you can dynamically load the designer XML UI.UI file into your code and access it from C++. In the XAML world, as we've talked about before, there's a one-to-one mapping between the elements that are declared in the XAML file and C# objects in the code behind. And so therefore, the back end of the C# the back end of the Silverlight application is going to be C#. Again, in the C++ designer world using widgets, we will implement most of our functionality via signals and slots, and we'll map those into custom events or predefined events that are part of the XAML elements or controls. And finally, in the UI file, we have the ability to use the virtual methods to override some of the inherent event methods, for instance, for doing painting and for doing input, and we have similar functionality available in C# from the Silverlight world. So we can compare the UI file and the XAML file. The structures are somewhat the same. The elements have different names, but they share the same kind of functionality. And there is much more of a one-to-one correspondence between what you see in the UI file and what you see in XAML. The tool comparison is the same. In the Qt widget world, we have a separate designer, and of course we have to switch back and forth between the designer and the code editor. And of course we have the option of editing the UI file directly. However, when we do that in Qt Creator, we have to switch back to the designer in order to see it. Whereas in Visual Studio, we can see the visual design being updated as we edit the code, as I mentioned before. So the application templates for applications are somewhat different between the different environments because of the structure of the languages that we're using. In the Qt Quick world, if we're developing a full application, then when we build our Qt Quick application, we're going to get a C++ object that will define an engine that will execute the QML, and we will specify in the object that defines the engine the actual start page that will be loaded from QML. To simplify this functionality, we declare a QML application viewer template object, and that object will set up the engine and set up the declarative view, and will allow us to set the initial QML page using a set property from the main.cpp file. In Silverlight, everything is going to be done through the XAML and CS files. So the creation of the XAML file will automatically, through the tools, create the appropriate CS files. And when we create the overall project, we're going to get, instead of an object by itself in C# that's been converted from XAML, we're actually going to get the XAML files and the CS files. In Silverlight, the application is defined by the app.xaml file, and that allows us to set all the global properties for the application as elements in the XAML file or in the corresponding objects that get created in the C# file. We can set the initial properties by using code. So in the Qt Quick world, what the application viewer is going to do is it's going to create the Qt application object, which will instantiate the event loop. It will allow us to set the orientation. And as I said, it creates the view in the engine. It initializes the app variables for us and then gives us a place to initialize those properties in code. It allows us to specify the start page as a QML file. It loads all of the application resources from the resource files. It then allows us to create C++ objects and bind them into the declarative engine so they're available in QML, and then it enters the event loop. In the Silverlight world, we're going to create the app.xaml and app.cs file, and as part of that specification of the template, we're going to tell the application what our main page is going to be, and that main page will be specified as a XAML file with a C# code behind. And the app.xaml and the start page XAML file will work together to create the initial page, and then we can initialize the properties either in XAML or in the code behind in C#. Once Silverlight starts the application, it will load all the application resources, and then it will allow us to set the appropriate global properties, and then it will enter the event loop and allow the application to start executing at the specified start page. The file that contains the main page for the application in a typical Silverlight template will be the main page.xaml, and its code will be implemented in the code behind in C#. We also have some other files that allow us to specify how the application is constructed. This is, for instance, the wmappmanifest.xml file, and here's where we actually can change what the start page is and affect some of the start properties. Both environments have the notion of project files. In the Qt world, of course, the QMake file that is specified by a .pro extension specifies all of the characteristics of the project. So here we're going to specify the source files, all of the form files, what translation files exist, any resource files that we're going to load into the application, whatever modules, both as part of standard Qt or as part of add-ons such as Qt Mobility, will be required by the application, and the APIs that we will use for those modules. And then for Symbian, we're also going to be able to specify the platform capabilities. This will allow us to request certain protected features of the phone and allow us to get at those if we have the authority to do so. And authority is granted via the signature mechanism and the certificate process that is all part of the submission to the OVI store or the Nokia store. And all of this is specified in a single place. In Silverlight, we specify these functions in various files. So the CS project file, which has a .cs proj extension, will allow us to specify all the source files, all of the form files and pages that will be the XAML files and the code behind, the translation resources, any of the additional resources that we need in order to implement our GUI, whether they are actual resources such as icons or whether they're actual content such as toolbars and other specified objects. And we'll also specify what modules we need and what APIs. Things like style resources can be specified in the app.xaml file, and platform capabilities are going to appear in the wmappmanifest.xml file that we mentioned before. So although we have the QMake file with all of those features in one place, we'll need to find the various files in Silverlight that implement that same functionality in order to capture the code that we're going to move from Qt Quick to Silverlight. So one of the things we're going to want to understand when we're moving an application from Qt Quick to the Silverlight environment is how resource files or resources get added to the application in both environments. So in Qt Quick, we're going to specify all of the resources via a .qrc file, and this is going to define the files in the namespace for accessing those resources from within the application. If we want to create a new resource, We either open an existing .qrc file or we create a new one, and then we define the namespace for the resource file system that will exist within the application. Once we have the prefixes defined, we can then add files to the resources, resource files, and we can add any kind of file. And these files don't have to be serializable. They can be any content that will be embedded as binary data within the application. When we move that over to the Silverlight world, we're either going to create the resources in a .res file and include that via the CS project file, or we're going to add files to the application as embedded resources from Visual Studio and add them as existing items and then set their build action to be either a resource or content. And by doing that, we will tell Visual Studio that we want to include those files as resources. The only caveat is that in the Silverlight world, those objects have to be in a format that's serializable that can be then embedded in the application and read through the resource mechanism. If we want to edit the resources, then once we have them in the Solution Explorer via the add existing file or add existing item menu command, then we can just double click on them and we'll open up the resource editor for that particular type. If we don't have a resource editor, then we won't be able to, for that file format, then we won't be able to edit its contents using Visual Studio. Of course, in Qt Quick, those files can be any type of file, so if you want to create an image file, you may have other image tools to create those files. For internationalization, in the Qt Quick world, of course, we're using strings that are tagged either with the translate method or the QObjectsTR method. If we're using Qt Quick, we're going to tag those same kind of strings with the QSTR method, and the process of doing the translation will be to run the update command, which will extract all those strings, and then we'll use the linguist to edit them and build new phrase books, and then lrelease will allow us to substitute the default strings with new strings. In Silverlight, the process is slightly different because we don't have the string extraction capability. What we're going to do is create a translation resource, and in that resource file, we're going to create tags that represent the string and their translation. And we won't have a default language. We will actually have a mapping between these tags and string for every language that we're going to support, including whatever we declare as the default language. We then create our phrase books as these resource files that have the tag string mappings for each language, and then inside of the application, we're going to use the tag instead of a string to reference the translation. This makes the code less readable in terms of what the output string is going to be, but it's a mechanism that is language neutral. So since we already understand how to add resource files in Qt Quick, we'll look at the process for adding a resource file in Visual Studio. So in Visual Studio, we will create a new item or we will add an item. We can click a resource file that will create, give us a file dialog that will allow us to specify the name of the resource, and it will create that resource in a .resx file. And once we do that, then we can double-click on that resource file, and we can begin to add our translations. So the translations will go into this .resx file, and once we have it created, we can give it the properties, and then we can begin to add the tags and the translation strings. If we want to load or use a particular translations, the process for using the resource files that we've created are to go into the app.xaml file and to add into the application resources a reference to an object in C# via the local colon name of the object, in this case localized strings, and we will specify CLR namespace, the name of our namespace for our application, and the type of object that we're, class of object that we're going to use. Then when we go into the actual C# code for our class, we will create a public class that is of the name specified in the XAML file. In this case, we're going to call it localized string, and the actual variable that we're going to use that references this class is going to be a static variable of the name specified in the XAML file. That in this case, it's lowercase localized uppercase resources. We'll create a new instance of it, and we'll create a getter that will return that object. And this will be the object that will be used to do the translations. To bind the data to the translation strings, we will specify that where our text is going to be binding, and then our source is going to be a static resource that is localized strings, and then we specify the actual tag in the string that we're going to use. And once we're done, then we need to go back to the .cs project file, and we have to add an element supported cultures, and then we will specify each of the translations that we have using their international code. In this case, we're supporting both German and English, and in English we're specifying that we're using the U.S. version, and then we will have to have files that will map into those codes. And once we do that, when we start our application, depending on the environment that we have set on our device, we will use those translations. So on the left, we say we set our region to be U.S. English, and we get English words. And then on the right, we set our region code to be German, and we'll get the German translation. And that's all there is to it. So in summary, we've tried to map the capabilities that we understand in Qt and QQuick into Visual Studio and understand the tools that are available and how we will go between them. In Windows Phone 7, we're going to use Visual Studio as the IDE, our declarative language, and Silverlight is going to be XAML. Our tools that we're going to use are going to be the Visual Studio Designer or Expression Blender if we want to have a more artistic and graphic specification of our GUI. We'll have a Windows Phone 7 application template that has the same functionality of what we're getting from Qt and Qt Quick. We understand now how to map the resources from the Qt world into the Windows Phone world, and we have an understanding of how to do the internationalization and map the translations that we've done in Qt Quick into the Windows Phone 7 world. So thank you for your time. And enjoy Windows Phone 7.